Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
B-Pod Studios.
Sports Hub. Zone Beetle.
Phone lines are always open for you.
Answer the phone!
Give us, if you want to call up out of the blue.
Answer the phone!
98.5, the Sports Hub.
We're going to talk about the AFC East here, but Christian Arcan just mentioned something there in his headlines. Bert, you're pretty tapped in. Malcolm Butler contemplating retirement due to personal reasons. You getting anything on this? And also, if you could please, why didn't he play in the Super Bowl? And you can answer the second one first if you'd rather, because I meant to ask you about a while ago.
I think part of like what happened with Malcolm in Arizona, and this is something like I had heard at the beginning of camp. They were worried he couldn't run anymore. And they were worried that like whether or not he'd be able to kind of hold up over the course of a season where maybe they could game it a little bit early on. But eventually, you know, as an older player, he'd wear down and the lack of just top end speed would catch up to him. So I do wonder if there's part of it where, you know, and I don't know what his personal situation is, but like I do think a part of this is like maybe him coming to the realization, like I'm not capable of playing at a certain level anymore. So and that's something that you kind of tuck away there. As for why he didn't play in the Super Bowl.
Yeah. I don't know if you remember that. It was against the Eagles.
Yeah. No. And I'll take you like, this is my understanding of it.
Oh, he's really going to answer. Okay, good.
You want me to answer it? I'll answer it.
We should have asked you this years ago.
Yeah. I mean, if you want me to answer it, I'll answer it. So my understanding was that he was legitimately sick the week of that game. Like that was actually 100% legit. So that was why he didn't travel with the team on Sunday. He flies in on Wednesday and they put him out there on the practice field. And when they put him out there in the practice field, you know, your role in the game becomes pretty clear. And my understanding is it was very clear that his role in the game was not going to be as a starter. Like he was going to be the third corner behind Gilmore and I believe it was Eric Rowe, right?
Yep.
So he was going to be like the nickel corner and sort of playing a specialized role. And like from what I understand, he went in the tank and had an awful week of practice. And like what I had heard was that the coaches coming out of that felt like they couldn't trust him in the game because he had just, I mean, like mentally wasn't in a good place. And so, you know, they decide, and obviously there's the contract hanging out over him too. Like, you know, all of that stuff. They felt like he wasn't in a mental, in the right place to play. Now, to me, the question that would follow that, right? If you decide not to play him, the question would follow that is, when Nick Foles, of all people, starts lighting you up in the Super Bowl and you have him in uniform, because they didn't deactivate him, he was dressed for that game, why didn't you at least give it a shot? So that's my question. Like, why did they at least put him out there after it became clear that the Eagles were getting over on them? But, you know, as for how the week played out, that's how I understood that it played out.
All right.
It's not what I heard.
Yeah, I heard.
There was like a fight or something. I'm sure you heard something way juicier, right?
Oh, yeah. I can't say it on the air, but I heard something. Oh,
I think we've all heard stuff, and everything's been. But
I mean,
it makes sense though the way Bert lays it out. It starts with a football reason, but then there was something else that stopped them from putting him in the game midway through. All right, we're not going to.
But a huge part of that was like his role that week, and I think that the contract played into it too. Like where it's like, all right, like so, I got sick. Now you're demoting me. And like, how is this? Like, I think any human being in that situation where you've got one game to go till free agency is probably thinking to himself, you're really screwing me here. Because not only am I not playing in the, not only am I not starting in the biggest game of my life, right? You're also putting me in the situation where I'm going to have to answer for that when I get to free agency. So you could definitely see how it could get in somebody's head that way.
All right. Let's move on to the AFC East discussion here. This is from the USA Today. Nick Wojtyn. I believe wrote this. Josh Allen is now the oldest starting quarterback in the AFC East.
Mm-hmm.
So And there are quarterbacks all over the league, of course, that are older. However, considering projected opening day starters only, Josh Allen is the elder statesman. Mm-hmm. And now the question becomes, does this mean that the AFC East is going to be wide open for someone to kind of like take the mantle as the force and the quarterback? Or the way I look at it, I'm like, well, guys are playing a little bit older. I don't know if we can turn this into a Josh versus time scenario, but the fact is that Josh Allen could be playing and leading the Bills to some successful seasons for some time to come. So when you look at, you know, the sea change yeah. that has now happened in the AFC East with the age of the starting quarterbacks, does that make you feel one way or the other about the future of the AFC and whether or not it's going to lead to
Hardy,
more parity, or there's just going to be
Hardy?
Yes,
you're missing a pretty significant part of this, don't you think?
Probably. What?
I don't know. But the other three quarterbacks haven't done anything. Josh Allen was like second for MVP last year. You know what I mean? Like,
and I hope the other three quarterbacks aren't as bad as Allen was when he was a rookie. Like, he was terrible.
Right. I mean, we don't know. Like, that's
awful.
But the thing is, we don't know, right? Like, we don't know. And I mean, if you talk to people in Buffalo, like, over the last like 6 weeks, they will tell you he has been a monster in camp. And it showed up in that preseason game against
God.
The Packers.
That throw
like,
down the
They think he's ready to take another significant step forward.
That's scary.
And I think if you got him on Truth Serum, he'd tell you right now. Now, he won't say this publicly. I think Josh Allen would tell you right now, I'm going to be the best quarterback in the league this year. And like that's just, I just think that that's the feel up there. Now, does it become that? We'll see. But the one thing that I think is important to remember about the Bills, too, when you look at it, and this is why I think that the division goes through there now. They have 10 of the 11 starters back on offense, right? The one starter they don't have back is John Brown, who just got cut by the Raiders. They replaced John Brown with Emmanuel Sanders. They have their offensive coordinator back. They have their quarterbacks coach back. And if you look at the roster, the best players on that roster are all 27 years old or younger, all of them. So they all should continue to get better. And so, like, could it get in those guys' heads, like the success they had last year, and maybe they take a step back? I guess that's always on the table, but that's not reflected in the sort of camp that they've had. And I think you saw when Mitch Trubisky was playing quarterback for them, right? Like what they looked like against the Bears. It's just, I think Buffalo's program right now is because of the age of because of the core, like the core of players there that are all 25 or 24, 25, 26, 27 years old. I just think Buffalo is a step ahead of everybody else. And that's not a shot at anyone else. It's just, I think they're further along in their building process right now than where the other three teams are.
I'd agree with that without a doubt. And I think Allen really offsets everything why it goes through there. Like that throw the other night was a 40-yard dart. Right down the middle.
There are a lot of fans,
off the back foot.
There are a lot of fans, mostly Patriots fans, who are just kind of like counting on a sophomore jinx for the Bills. You know, they have a great year last year. They have a great year last year, and they think, oh, they'll just revert back to the Bills. I say without any real evidence to show for it other than history. I mean, it's like, so what? You've got new players. You've got Josh Allen, who you just said, Bert,
but here's the thing, like,
lighting it up. It's like
Hardy. Hardy, was it really just 1 year?
No, it wasn't.
It's not. Like, they made the playoffs Sean McDermott's first year.
Yep.
Then they ripped the Band-Aid off on a bunch of cap problems that were created by Rex Ryan. So they took a step back in Josh Allen's rookie year. Then their third year, Allen's second year, they make the playoffs. And then their fourth year, Allen's third year, they're in the AFC Championship game.
Right.
Like, tell me that isn't like
that
all
is,
of that.
But that is part of the problem
it's
of being
a four-year body
of being a Patriots.
It's not 1 year.
No, but it's part of the problem of being a Patriots fan. When you judge other teams, you look at it as like, well, if you don't make the conference championship, you really haven't done anything, which is ludicrous. You look across the league, there are a lot of good teams that don't make the conference championship each year, or at least a handful of good teams.
So think
and
about
I think
it this
the
way,
Bills are one of those teams that didn't make it in years prior to last year.
They hadn't made the playoffs in 18 years when those guys got there. They've now made it 3 out of 4 years. Like, they were still, like, when they drafted Josh Allen, like, if you look at it over the history of that place, they really still hadn't replaced Jim Kelly. Jim Kelly retired when I was in high school. You know what I mean? Like, so, like, I think you have to consider a degree of difficulty, too, with what the Buffalo guys did, right? Like, that they were, I mean, that place was broken. That place was, that place was where the Patriots were when Bill Parcells got here. Right?
Yeah.
Like they were, it was a broken place.
Still feels like it's that. Same thing with the stadium. No new stadium there yet. You know, we had that.
Right. But the team is not that anymore. The team
fan base is there.
The team is no longer broken.
Yeah. The fan base will always be there for them. Like they'll come out of the woodworks for them.
Bert, you must have some thoughts on what Asante Samuel said or tweeted anyway about the Patriots and Bill Belichick. So we'll get into that next as we continue here in Zolak and Bertrand Hardy and for Beetle on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
Drive home with Felger and Mast right now. Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Zolak and Bertrand Hardy and for Beetle, Burt Breer is with us. Albert, we had a fun read with Asante Samuel when he quote tweeted an ESPN tweet from Louis Riddick. And he said that Bill Belichick is cold-blooded. He said, Louis Riddick said that Belichick was cold-blooded and will do what he thinks he has to do. So Asante Samuel quote tweeted that and said, cold-blooded is an understatement, but without Brady, he is just another coach, in my opinion. So we'll start with that. Asante Samuel has some history, of course, with Bill Belichick.
Yeah.
Saying that he's just another coach without Tom Brady. He's not the first person to say that. Maybe the first this week, and in reference to what has happened here with Cam Newton. I'm sure you saw that, and he's not the only one to think that, I would guess.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, I think he's, like, in this certain class of player that I think there are two things at work, right? Like, and I think there are a certain amount of guys who went through here over the last 20 years that fit into this. You know, number one, he had a contract issue with them, and it was dragged out over years, right? Like, and so he went through being franchised, and he had to wait the extra year, and they were tough with him. So I think that that's, you know, one of the things that's at work here. Number two, I think he's another one of these guys who had to hear he was a creation of Bill. You know what I mean? Like, and I do think that that weighs on some guys when they look at their accomplishments. And, you know, I think with Asante specifically, it was one of these guys where it was like, well, you know, would he have been what he became if he had not come through New England? And I think there's a fair argument to be had there. But if you're the player, if you're Asante in this case, I don't think there's any question that you would sort of take that as an insult. So if there's someone saying like it's more the player than the players than the coach that built what was built here over the last 20 years, guys who sort of fit into those two categories together are probably going to be nodding their head. And Asante Samuel fits into both those categories.
He tweeted something else. He said, fun fact, I made Belichick,
Paul Bart.
I made Belichick understand the cornerback position better and how to make plays in any coverage. This was actually like a year ago.
Oh,
okay.
Bill never coached Ty Law. So, you know, prior to that.
Is that why the secondary sucked for 5 years after Samuel left, by the way?
He said, and how to make plays in any coverage. He never agreed with the way I played, but now he teaches it.
Was that like the off coverage, right? Like,
I don't know. It was a tweet from
June. Well, if you remember, like, the one thing Asante,
I understand.
Asante was like, he'd play like 7-8 yards off the ball, right? Yep. Like, and his instincts, like, he couldn't run with certain receivers, but his instincts were so good that he had a way of making up for it. So, like, I think Bill would admit to that sort of thing, right? Yeah. Like, having certain players.
Ty was the same way, Bert. Bert, I remember Ty. When Pete Carroll left here and we had that blitzing style, we would send Malloy on blitzes up the middle and go get Marino and let's lock up Ty on the outside. Ty told the story at his Hall of Fame thing. Like, we didn't need any, at the Red Jacket induction, we didn't need any game plan. Where's Ty Law at? Where you at? You over there? Yeah, what you do? I got Eric effing Molds today. Everybody else, go do your job. I'll see you Sunday. Because I'm going to lock him up man to man. No, but it's the man. I know what he's talking about.
The mentality.
It's the mentality of I want to play man.
Right.
I know my skills.
It's the Deion thing.
And what benefits me, I don't want to be 7 yards off of my hips inside playing zone.
Oh, yeah.
Passing it off. You know, Ty hated that.
Just patrolling your quadrant of the field and being responsible for that. No.
Right.
Ty
got into it, Bill, a little bit about that. Like, play more madness. And then eventually he settled down. But he had some issues with him at the beginning.
No, so, but I think like what we're getting at here, though, like I think Bill would be amenable to the point that like having certain players teaches you to coach a different way, right? Like,
right.
So
you're going to call different coverage if Stephon Gilmore's not out there.
To Bill's credit, like Bill's never been the guy that says it. Now behind closed doors, maybe he does, but publicly he's always like, it's a player's game, and you know I coach what I you know I coach the play. I try to coach the players to their strengths. And if you've got players that have different strengths than guys you've had before at a position, of course, that's going to sort of inform you on coaching a different way. Right. Like that's not the craziest point in the world. I would think like Asante actually probably, probably makes some sense in saying that.
Yeah. I guess now, you know, we're going to be talking about this some more in terms of, And you're right, by the way, Bird. I've heard Bill say that too with regard to the quarterback position. It's like, do we have a system? It's like, no, you have a quarterback, and then you have to, and maybe it was Josh more than Bill who said, you design the system around the type of quarterback that you have. You know, you don't,
right.
You know, everyone thinks there's a system here, there's a system. Well, there's a way we like to do things, but, you know, you are first.
No, I think that's why, like, honestly, that's why, like,
you know, toward that system by the talents and the requisite skills of the quarterback that's going to be playing that position.
I think that's initially why like Josh was excited to have Cam, because like I think he like legitimately had like clubs in his bag for a decade that he was not able to swing. Because remember, Josh is the guy who drafted Tim Tebow. Like, so he had ideas outside of what the Patriots offense generally looks like, right?
Right.
So, like, I think, like, when they first got Cam, I think Josh was excited about it because it was, I've had these clubs in my bag forever, and I've never been able to swing them because Tom Brady's the quarterback. And not that that's a bad thing, but there are some things that I can do schematically now that I've never been able to do before. And so, like, I think that absolutely applies, you know, and I think that's what good coaching is coaching to whoever you've got on your roster.
So now that obviously they're making another change here at quarterback, the question is going to pop up again, depending on how the season goes for the Patriots. And people will start talking about whether or not Bill is just another coach with Tom Brady. What is it going to take? And you know, for many people, just his resume and his track record is going to be enough with Tom Brady. Without Tom Brady, that's an incredible run that the Patriots had. However, there will be dissenters who say otherwise and say it's all Tom. So, what's it going to take to quiet those people down?
I mean, I think a combination of Bill winning and Tom not winning another one, because if Tom wins another one and then Bill doesn't win again, like think about that. Like if Tom wins two in Tampa, because if you go down there, that's really, in a lot of ways, like that's Tom's operation down there. I think the number, and I can double check this.
Real quick, you've done the Tampa trip this year, right?
Yeah.
Compare that to this lifestyle of a Patriots practice.
Meaning, oh, dude! Like I'm telling you,
is it a country
like,
club?
People act as if like he it's like Club Med down there for him.
Yeah,
it's intense down there because of him.
Okay,
like Arians told me stories about like Tom throwing his helmet like in drills at the beginning of camp because things weren't run the way he wanted them to.
Right,
like that place is intense and Patriot like. Because Tom Brady's the quarterback.
Wow.
And like he has touched every part of that building. And there are other guys too. I mean, JPP is another guy who's won a championship who's sort of become, I would say, like what Willie McGinnis was here. Like, like JPP is sort of the regulator on defense. But that place is run a certain way because Brady's there. And like you can see his fingerprints all over the whole operation. I think it's something like, and I got to check this, like, I think it's something like 27 players on the roster are now working with Alex Guerrero. Think about that. It's like 27 players. It's half the roster.
It's crazy.
I saw him just from the video clips. He just walks around practice, like out in the middle of practice, like right there next to Arians, just right in the huddle.
Yeah.
He's right there.
It's his operation.
He never really had that access here.
Yeah.
It was off to the side.
Yeah. And the really interesting thing about it, guys, is like if you go down, like one of the things those guys will tell you is like he's not like making decisions, right? Like basically, like he's just got input. So he said, like for Gronk, for example, like he went to Jason Light, the general manager there, and said, I think Gronk will come out of retirement if you go get him. So they went and got him. He said, like, could you guys sign Antonio Brown? They go and sign Antonio Brown. Like, they asked him about Leonard Fournette, and he said, well, can I do anything? So they had him call Leonard Fournette. Gio Bernard, same thing. Like, we think we're going to be able to get Gio Bernard this offseason. So what did Brady do? Brady sent Gio Bernard a DM on Instagram because he didn't know him and, like, was part of that. You know, so, like, people think he's, like, running the personnel side. He isn't. He's just got input on all of it, and they involve him in it because that's the smart thing to do. People want to play with Brady, so involving him on that level helps. And then when you get to the practice field, I mean, it's freaking Thunderdome out there because of him. You know what I mean? Like, it is an intense, competitive environment. And it was interesting because when I was there, Vrabel was there too, right? Like, so the Titans were out there too. And I think Vrabel really, really liked the idea that his players, and they didn't practice very well the first day, and the Titans coaches got after their guys. But I think Vrabel really liked the idea that, like, his guys got to see, yeah, this is the environment that I played in because of that guy right over there. And so, like, I think people, like, have, you know, it's funny. I think people, like, have it the wrong way and, like, looking at, like, oh, well, he broke free of everything that Bill created in New England, when a lot of, like, what was created in New England here, at least for like the last 10 of the 20 years he was here, it was Brady himself creating that environment.
Right. You know, when it comes down to it, I think the correct answer is, was it Bill or was it Brady? The answer is both.
Both.
Yeah. The answer is both. However, in the scenarios that are out there right now, I think the Bill, for people who still want to have an answer on this, the best case scenario for him is the answer ends up being, it's a wash. Ends up being both because Tom's already won one.
You can't, like, that's the thing. It's like Tom, like Bill, I don't think Bill can win this anymore because Tom's already shown he can win it with, like,
he can only
I think the best Bill can do is pull even, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And it's going to require at the very least Tom not winning another one and Bill going deep with another guy at quarterback.
But the new kid can
and
help.
I think the new kid can really help Bill
because when
what would really help too is Bill walking away from here whenever he decides to walk away with a stable situation at quarterback.
I think he's right. I think Bill can win this because if, let's say, Mac Jones is good and Bill retires and Mac Jones is good for years after that and Brady's gone and, you know, Bill's not coaching anymore, Mac Jones' success is going to reflect on Bill Belichick.
See, the reason...
With Bill not there?
Yeah.
But he drafted him.
Bill
he
actually
the only
has...
guy left. He drafted him because he was the one that was left.
The one thing is Bill and Josh actually have like a great track record for developing quarterbacks outside of just Tom. Like, they developed Matt Cassel, who didn't start in college, right? And Matt became a starting quarterback for a playoff team in Kansas City. They developed Jimmy Garoppolo. Jimmy Garoppolo, for all the criticism he's taken, got to the Super Bowl with another team, right? So, like, you add those two and then you throw like Mac Jones into it. If Mac Jones really makes it, I mean, like, it's hard to deny that Bill's done a really good job developing quarterbacks as it is. But if you add Mac to that group, like, if he becomes, like, even like a Chad Pennington level starter, which I think is the right comp for him, like, then I think Bill walks away from here with a really good reputation. And I think you can kind of say he definitely had a big hand in Brady getting where he got.
All right. Let's talk about Urban Meyer a little bit here and some of the issues that he's facing now after he talked about players and their vaccination status. We'll do that with Bert Breer next after Christian Arcan and the Hub headlines on the Sports Hub.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
Putting you in the middle of the story.
It's gotta be the closest thing to Woodstock.
In the middle of the day.
It's like an acidic trip.
There's always a little bit of heaven in disaster area.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, it's Zolak and Bertrand, Hardy and for Beetle. I see Urban Meyer's name pop up in a story, Bert, and I automatically think, well, whatever someone thinks he did wrong, he did wrong. You know, I mean, come on, let's fit.
Yeah.
You don't blame me for that, do you?
You change your headphones?
Yeah, no, my Bose headphones had some issues, so that was why I was like kind of scrambling at the top of the show, but yeah. These are fine.
All right.
I'm good.
All right. And there's nothing wrong with Bose headphones, by the way.
Hell no, there isn't. No. It's just like a little glitch, which is probably my fault.
Okay. So the Urban Meyer, is being investigated by the NFL Players Association. He said yesterday that players' vaccination status had factored into the Jaguars' decisions as they did their roster cutdowns. He said everyone was considered. That was part of the considerations, such as production. Let's start talking about this. Yeah. And also, is he vaccinated or not? Can I say that was a decision maker? It was certainly in consideration. So George Atala from the NFLPA said,
No.
They've opened an investigation into Urban Meyer and the Jaguars because, well, this is where it all falls apart. And I'm sure you're familiar with this story, Bert. But what do you think of the NFL's PA's investigation into this matter?
I mean, it's kind of like I understand you have to do it to protect the players, and that, you know, it's like there are all kinds of issues with the idea of saying like your vaccination status could affect your employment. But I mean, if we're being real about this, like being real about it, like is that it is going to affect guys' employment. And the interesting part about that is the NFLPA is part of the reason why it's that way, right? Yes. Like, because they negotiated the terms with the league. So the league and the union were the ones that set these rules. And like, yet now they're trying to say, oh yeah, well, we created all these incentives for people to get vaccinated. And we created all these de-incentives for teams to keep unvaccinated players. But just don't say it. Like, don't say what we want to happen out loud. It's just, I don't know. Like, it just feels like one of those silly, worthless games. Now they're going to waste time on an investigation. And I don't know. Like, I just hate like where,
you can't be honest. You can't even be honest.
You can't be honest.
He's trying to be honest.
Like, you can't tell the truth. Like
he did tell the truth, though. Like, it did partly play into, like, it's part of the makeup when we look at the player.
You know what?
There's 20 things we look at. Does he check this box, that box, that box, that box?
Right.
And it's one of those things. Cut him because he's not vaccinated.
Like, the nature of football has always been, right? Like, where availability, because the injury rate in football is 100%, right. Availability is going to affect your status with the team, right? So when a team is looking at two players at the bottom of the roster and one guy has an injury history or the other guy does and the other guy doesn't.
Right.
You know what they're going to say?
Take the healthy kid.
We're going to keep the healthy guy. Yeah. We're going to like, and is that fair to the guy who's got her? Probably not, but like that's reality, right? Like,
yeah.
So it's the same thing as that. Like, it's like keeping in a guy who's got a history of getting hurt versus keeping a guy who's been completely healthy his entire career. And I don't think there'd be any problem if a coach got up there and said that, right? Like said, like, well, you know, like now I don't know if they would say it because it might be considered insensitive to player X or player Y, but like, I don't think there'd be a huge firestorm for a guy getting up there and saying, well, you know what? This guy had a sprained MCL 2 years ago. And then the year before that, he dislocated his elbow. And like we just like felt like the other guy, we were going to have a better chance of keeping him healthy and getting him through the year. It's the exact same thing.
So
right?
this reminds me, you know, of the Buffalo conversation we were having. Well, what can derail the Buffalo Bills? Like they're one of the favorites. They're one of the stronger teams in the AFC, especially the AFC East. COVID can.
Yep.
Like they have COVID issues.
They have COVID issues.
They have outspoken guys on both sides of it.
But it's funny you bring up the Bills, though, because the reason why I say the NFLPA and their investigation in Urban Meyer is just going to fall flat, because it was back in May when Brandon Bean, the GM from the Bills, went on the radio and he said, look, I'd cut an unvaccinated player because it'd be an advantage for us to have one less unvaccinated guy here. The NFL called Bean and said, you can't cut somebody strictly on vaccination status. It can be a factor, but it can't be the only reason.
Isn't that fun?
So at that point, every GM in the league took notice and said, okay, it can only be a factor. It can't be the factor. And that's what Urban Meyer said. He goes, it wasn't the only decision maker, but it was part of the process.
How funny is that, though?
Which is what Bert said. The NFLPA agreed to that standard. So what are they investigating?
So say I'm a playoff team, week 14, and I'm trending towards the playoffs, and I lose my starting third down back. Thursday, he blows his knee out. Friday, I'm scouring the waiver wire. I'm looking to bring a guy in immediately because he's got to play Sunday. I can't look at unvaccinated guys because they won't clear by Sunday.
Right.
So there's the reverse of that. So why can't you? It just
right.
You know, there's so
why can't you say
rules.
It? Like
there's
all these things are like,
there's hypocrisy in it.
Why can't you just say it?
Yes.
Like you created these rules for everyone, and now you're going to come down on people who are going to cite those rules as a reason why player X might make the team over player Y.
You want to know why, Bert? You want to know why, Bert? Because the NFLPA has done such a disservice to their players for so long that whenever they get a small victory like this, they're going to hold the league's feet to the fire on it and try and make a big, when it doesn't really matter. It doesn't, but they negotiated this. Okay, vaccine can't be the only reason for accepting or cutting a player. All right, we're going to make them stick to this. You should be able to say out loud one way or the other, and also it doesn't really make a difference. Fine, we'll come up with if you want to cut a guy because he's not vaccinated, just all you have to do is say, no, it was for a variety of reasons, and you're off the hook.
And look, like that's life in the NFL this year, too. I mean, for non-players, like I don't know if it's every team, but I think just about every team, like to be in the building, you have to be vaccinated if you're not a player, right?
Yeah.
Like all of them do. Yes. And like that's how we know like Brady's son is vaccinated, because Brady's son was a ball boy for the Bucs. Mm-hmm. To be a tiered employee, to like go out there and be on
that's
the field
tier
around
one.
The
players. That
player,
is tier one.
You have to be vaccinated, right? Like it's not even a question. And that part's in the league rules. So to be around players, you have to be vaccinated. And then most teams separate from that are putting in rules now that say everyone has to be vaccinated. So it's just, it's one of these things. It's like I understand like, you know, having to rattle cages and all of that. This just feels like such a waste of time, because we all know the truth. Like what Urban said is the truth. And the only reason like Urban is the one to step in it is because Urban's probably the guy who's on the internet the least of all 32 NFL head coaches. You know what I mean? Like, so he probably
is watching so much film. Yeah.
He's probably just a little less. I would say Urban's probably a list. The one thing about Urban's reputation at Florida and Ohio State, he's sort of in his own little world, you know?
Yeah.
And so I'm sure that's part of this, is that he probably just wasn't didn't see Brandon Bean getting trouble in Buffalo he just figured like, hey, this is the reality of it, so I'm just going to say it.
In the NFL, yes, I would say for all head coaches, it's a toss-up between him and Nick Saban, because you remember Saban didn't even know there was an eclipse going on. Yeah. That was, you know, that was...
They had offensive meetings that day.
Oh, my. Yeah, meetings, you know, game plan.
Answer questions about it. Hey, Bert, by the way, LSU question. Yeah. Do you think Coach Ogeron is vaccinated?
That's a good question. Does he have to be?
Don't take me about get the no vaccine in my arm. We got to play football game. Got to play.
Coach, do we know?
Let's go Tigers.
Do we know?
No, it's a joke. I'm just kidding.
He just wanted
I don't know. I understand what you're saying.
It's called football season.
I'm not sure. Yeah, like, I was going to say the rules, but like, I don't know what the rules are down there.
Imagine him muffled, like in a mask.
Oh, he's the best. Yeah.
We only have you for a few more minutes.
He sounds like he's masked when he's not masked.
We're going to make this the Breer's choice, all right? We only have you for a few more minutes. You want to do more on the NFL protocols? You want to do on some of the some more on the cutdowns from yesterday? What are you hot on?
I'll let you, what are you guys
what
hot
floats
on?
Your
no, no,
boat?
No. You take the break to decide, and then you'll surprise everybody when we come back. Bert never gets to choose. Okay. I think we should let Bert choose what he talks about in the final segment.
I think I know what I want to talk about coming out of the break.
That's how we're going to do it then. Wow. All right. When and we'll but that will be a quick break and we'll be right back with Bert Breer.
Okay.
Can tell you that we do have players that have got COVID.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
So,
not a dummy.
Beetle. Zolak and Bertrand. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Zolak and Bertrand, one final segment here with Albert Breer, who has his choice of topics. Anything you want to talk about, Bert?
I want to talk about the Patriots quarterback situation because I'm not going to shy away from the big story, and I think it's silly to talk about anything else if you're giving me that choice.
Let's go.
And so, like, I want to ask you guys what you think fair expectations are for Mac Jones.
Ooh, okay. He's turning the tables on us. So yeah. It's like stepbrothers. How much do you
What's a fair expectation? Like if you can think of like a player's rookie year.
Okay. So I think a player's rookie year, and it takes me back to like when Bledsoe was picked, but the team was kind of good, but we weren't good yet. It was still in the build. Mm-hmm. The way this thing was retooled in the offseason, the amount of money that they spent, this is not normal to do this for a rookie. So
yeah.
He's walking into a great situation because of one of the coordinator, the head coach, the running game, the line in front of him. Like they brought Trent Brown back. Now you got two big tackles. You got one of the best centers in the league. You got a hell of a front seven. Still some questions in your secondary. Then once Gilmore's back and the way the schedule is, Bert, it's not the toughest schedule. I think he can get them to the playoffs.
I will say a fair
playoff contender. How's that? Not playoff winner, playoff contender.
A fair baseline expectation would be 8-9. One more win than Cam, same number of losses. Wow. I think anything above that is really good.
What do you think,
Bert? I think 10-7.
Okay, so here's what I think, guys. I think one overlooked key, okay, that everybody needs to pay attention to is going to be Damian Harris in the running game and that offensive line. And I'm going to give you guys some stats. I'll tweet these out a little later for everybody who's listening. So since 1970, since the merger, there have been nine quarterbacks have won Offensive Rookie of the Year. That number sounds a little low, doesn't it?
Yeah.
All of them have been since 2004. So nine quarterbacks have won Offensive Rookie of the Year. All right. If you look at the running game, right? Seven of those nine finished top 10 in rushing offense in the NFL. Okay.
Wow.
And six of those nine finished top four running the ball.
Oh.
Okay. So that was the 2004 Steelers were first. The 2006 Titans were fourth. The 2008 Falcons with Matt Ryan were second. The 2011 Panthers with Cam were third. The 2012 Redskins with RG3 were first. And then the 2016 Cowboys with Dak were second. So I think one of the things that's so important here, it's taking pressure off of Mac Jones
absolutely. And
making sure you're not asking the world of him, because he can go out there and I think he can be a really effective distributor if you're keeping him out of second and third and long. How do you do that? You run the ball effectively and you manage the situations that he's in. So you're not putting him, because he's not going to come out and be Tom Brady on third and 15 right out of the gate. Like you eventually hope to get there. But right now, you want to manage all the situations the best way you can. And I think the best way to do it is by being really, really effective running the ball. And I don't think it's a mistake that like you look at like some of the guys who had great rookie seasons, right? Like that 2008 year, right? When you had Matt Ryan and Joe Flacco go deep in the playoffs. Michael Turner, I think, won the rushing title in Atlanta, and Ray Rice was dynamite for the Ravens, and they go to the championship game. So I think sometimes, like, when we look at like how rookie quarterbacks, you know, like how their rookie years play out, what we don't pay enough attention to is how the rest of the team is functioning. And I think so much of this is going to boil down to keeping Mac out of bad situations, keeping him out of situations where he's got to carry the team. And so to me, you know, you focus so much on the tight ends, and you should. You spend a lot of money on them. You focus on potential problems at receiver. That's important too. That offensive line and the running back, I think, can do more to help Mac Jones than maybe anybody else in the roster.
With that in mind, real quickly, Bert, was it a mistake then to trade Sony Michel?
No, because I think that you were like, I just think you had a logjam at the position. And I think Stevenson showed you enough where if Harris were to get nicked up, you'd probably feel comfortable with Ramondre Stevenson as your number two, like traditional back. Now, obviously, you know, JJ Taylor and James White are different sorts of backs, but I think having Stevenson really kind of was what accelerated the process of getting Michelle out of here. You know, and then I think, you know, obviously Brandon Bolden brings special teams value, but having him kind of, you know, in the holster too gives you confidence there. But I just think it's so important that you're able to get the most out of those guys. And I think you saw it in the preseason too, right? So like the way that they ran the ball in the preseason.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's one way you actually got prepared to support the rookie quarterback, is that you saw them get a lot of work in the running game and in those preseason
games. Matt got a lot of work. It's not like he didn't play and they just threw him in for a series here or there. The situational stuff, the no huddle, he handled everything.
That, I think, and that to me, like that to me, like to me, if like there was one sign, and again, I didn't expect to happen. I'm not going to say I expect. I think Curran was the only one who really expected what happened yesterday to happen. You know, but what I would say is, if there was one sign that this could happen, to me, it's like what Zoch has pointed to. It was the trust that they were showing in Mac, and the two things in particular.
They didn't do that with Cam.
Look at how much they had him out there and empty, right? Like if he's out there and empty, he's responsible for the extra rusher. And Zo, you and I talked about that. And then how much did they have him in no huddle? They were trusting him and they were testing him in certain situations where it really was going to be more on him.
Yep.
And so I can see a certain level of trust there, which is a great sign going into the season. But I think a lot of this is going to boil down to, because there's going to be a lot on any rookie, a lot of this is going to boil down to how well are they running the ball? How well are they supporting him? And how well are they doing and keeping him out of second and long and third and long situations where the quarterback has to carry the team?
Great stuff as always, Bert. Good to talk to you.
Yeah, great job today, bud.
Yeah, well,
awesome. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Looking forward to the year.
Yeah.
We'll get you some new headphones here, pal.
There he goes.
Call people at Bose. They want to send me more free stuff. I'm all for it.
We will. Don't you worry.
I use my Bose wireless every single night without fail.
They're great. No, I have the running ones. The running ones are fantastic.
I use those. Yeah, I don't run. I use those to cut the grass. But just like the over-the-ear ones I use at night just to listen to like podcast or watch TV. Mm-hmm.
Do you have the sunglass ones?
Sleep.
Sunglass ones are like, those are really effective, but like the sunglass ones, like I kind of feel like, I don't know, like a weirdo running around.
Yeah, because like people talking to you, like, what? I can't hear you.
Yeah.
What do you mean you can't hear me?
I put them up on the brim of my cap, though, even when it's not sunny, right? Just because you can hear the other stuff.
Yeah,
because
you're hip.
Yeah. So much for the Bose infomercial. Okay, thanks, Bert. We'll talk to you later, buddy.
All right, thanks, guys.
There he goes. 90 seconds here, no commercials. We have loaded lines, all of your calls. We'll do it next segment, two segments if need be, to get through all the calls next.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.